Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, what's happening, everyone? Hope you enjoy this show that's about to come up. Before we get to it, just want to give you all a heads up about Red Men Plus, the ultimate Liverpool streaming service. If you want more Liverpool content, both in video and podcast form, head over to redmenplus.com, sign up, and you'll get even more amazing Red Men content every single day. I promise you will not regret it. It is absolutely fantastic. Hope you enjoy this show.
Hey everyone, it is the Red Men podcast. We're doing this on a Monday because the footy got cancelled, and Chris and I are heading off to LA and Vegas on tour with Cop Connect and the Ragamuffins and Mark Kenny and Bruce Grobbelaar and Ronnie Whelan, so we thought we'd squeeze this in, much to the annoyance of Steve, who wanted to do some actual work this morning.
Loser. Didn't want to do actual work.
You said I literally wanted to, you just literally said I wanted to do
I have planned to do work. The thing, that work still needs doing. Yeah. I've got less time to do it now.
Yeah.
So that's all it was.
Blame the FA. we are going to be talking about Liverpool's footy getting cancelled at the weekend, some of the fallout from it and all that kind of stuff. We will not be going heavy in on the monarchy and royalists and all of that stuff.
On that, I hope everyone is having a good morning.
That being said, yeah, we will be doing that on Podcast Extra over on Redmen Plus later on. So if you want a more uncensored view of everything that we do and non-footy stuff, then come and join us on Podcast Extra over on redmenplus.com about 15 minutes after this podcast is
Do you reckon
finished.
It'll be as popular as last week's Redmen Podcast Extra?
Yes, I do, because you're on it and you're amazing.
Yeah, and I might get me top off.
Is that going to make it more or less popular?
You ask the audience.
Well, no, what, you've got to try things, haven't you?
You've got the audience there, let them know.
But can we put a joke? Can you put a poll? Jesus Christ, that's easy to say. Put a poll and see whether it would make Extra more or less popular if Steve promised to take his top off.
Yeah, let's go with that.
We shall. We have got some questions that are already geared up for that. From Indo Zimbo wanted to know which of the Redmen will be most successful if they had an OnlyFans. We'll be answering that on and plus in honour of Saskia, who isn't here this week. We do have a kickoff question though that is football related, and it is very topical at the moment as well. From Comud27 on Twitter says, if you could pick any current or former Liverpool player to be the reigning monarch, who would it be? Brackets, no managers.
Andy Robbo. Yeah,
bit of,
I think he could unite Highland the blood. Nations.
Yeah, I don't think the monarchy is Robbo's bag, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah,
which is exactly the point.
Unless he's Catholic and Protestant at the same time.
He'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I just think
he'd be the king of consort, apparently. Like, maybe that's what they're like making these titles of, don't they?
I think he'd be like, his outfit would be more William Regal than Queen Elizabeth II.
Okay, just like little trunks.
Yeah, and a crown with a
big
cape.
Big trunks, I should say. Big trunks. Oversized wrestling undies. Like
black boots.
Yeah. Sort of cape.
Cape, crown.
Crown.
Jobs are good. None of this messing around. You don't need anything more, do you?
I think James Milner would make a good monarch.
Yeah, but he'd actually do it properly.
Yeah,
I'm here for the banter, not for the...
Oh, right, okay, yeah, so you'll go more down the hilarious route.
Yeah, yeah, well, I don't think Chris would be serious, I'll be honest. I thought that path was well trodden already.
I've maybe just thrown shade at Chris's joke there as well, accidentally, like, apologies. Okay, yeah, cool. Go on, who's more hilarious than Andy Robbo in Big Trunk?
Joel Matip in Big Trunk.
Anyone who's not English is hilarious.
Yeah.
And he's also German as well, so he follows the bloodline.
Yeah, he follows the bloodline. He's a German who doesn't identify as German. German.
Yeah,
yeah, he fits perfectly in. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't even have like a black princess without the Daily Mail kicking off. Imagine having the Black King, yeah. German King. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Oh.
England might Slash implode. Cameroon. It might implode England.
We said we weren't going in on the monarchy.
We haven't, have we?
We haven't. We've gone on the people who don't do
it. Yeah. And royalists.
No, listen, fill your boots if it's for you. But imagine, imagine that coronation, but it's like it's Joel Matip, like waving.
He would absolutely have a staff of some description, Joel.
Yeah.
And he'd move his own little child away. He wouldn't make someone else do it.
Yeah.
Like a prick.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We'll just trying to get to. I think
be waving those sausage fingers.
I really think we're being a bit harsh on King Charles. Yeah, I think he was just trying to get some blood in his fingers, or out of his fingers.
No,
it's
we're
just ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean?
Stop. Okay. So, funnily enough, I went back on the MXP YouTube channel the other day. I was going to try and put something in the community tab and it wouldn't work, so I left it. But I looked at what the most recent comments were, and the video that still gets comments to this day
Tommy Robinson
getting milkshaked where we rip the piss out of him, and it's still people going like, watch out, Tommy's about. And all
is he though? Is he in this country? He's not even in Europe.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, this is what we're opening ourselves up to here. Fair play, you're right. Fill your boots if you're all into it. Be into it. It's absolutely fine. I'm up for Milner. On genuinely, like, you know, I think
he'd be good at job.
I think he'd be a very good king.
He's got a well trimmed beard, so I think that fits.
Yeah, he looks a bit. I think he'd look a little bit like the Tiger King thing from Robin Hood as well. I think.
He would wear like sort of a puffy cape, if you know what I mean. Mm.
He's also well too old for the current job he's doing.
Yeah.
That fits in with the monarchs.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, perfectly.
Imagine, right, going to the job centre at 73 and just getting a job. That would be, like, that couldn't happen in normal life, could it?
No.
Did you know...
B&Q.
That's true. I mean, you can never find them, yeah. But they are there, I'm told, yeah. In the break room. Did you know that only the reigning king or queen of England don't pay inheritance tax? And that he inherited 500 million and obviously did about 121 million a year.
Good for him.
And he's the only person that doesn't pay inheritance tax.
Like Saskia, hate the player!
Saskia said last week, get your bag, girl.
Yeah, absolutely. Get your bag, Charles. Right, Charles, yeah.
We're
going to
get in trouble, let's move on.
Yeah, I know. It was going to happen. I tried my best to keep it.
It was fine. We were respectful.
Yeah.
To a point.
Do we want to know how the poll's going?
No.
Would you be more or less likely to watch Podcast Extra if Steve took his top off? More likely, 60%.
Get in, Steve.
I mean, I wanted a bigger margin, but I'll take it.
I mean, optimistically, Steve.
Yeah, listen.
60% is 62% now.
Perfect.
That is a whopping margin, let's be perfectly honest.
I'm like Flanders, I've said this before, underneath the shirt, it looks deceiving, it's just ripped.
Yeah.
Like Mo Salah. Or needs more salad. One or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, salad. Yeah, in fact, there's Adam McKevitt saying, Steve, get your top off, mate. There we go. Absolutely. Gonna have to head over to Redmen Plus if you want to see D take his top off, apparently. I'm not sure how we ended up.
I was going to, but the option was there that people wanted it.
Well, but if people are signing up now, Steve, because of that, if you're heading over to redmenplus.com right now to sign up in anticipation of Steve's nipples on Extra, I mean, look, the QR code's on.
I mean, get a fucking life if that's so much porn on the internet.
It's the forbidden fruit, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's like Pay Jack Nude. I remember that was a thing for a
while. Being selective. You can whatever gets you there.
Whore nudes. That doesn't probably exist. Don't Google that. It's not safe for work.
Do not Google that.
Depends on the spelling.
Sound. Okay, cool. We're going to be talking about what was going on at the weekend and a little bit of the fallout and why the footy ends up getting cancelled when a number of other sports, Tory sports, stayed on.
Sick of the cricket slander.
Yeah, it is though. We're going to take a very, very short break and then we'll return with that. Hey, do you like amazing Liverpool signed stuff, memorabilia, things that you can hang on the wall of your bedroom, your living room, your man cave, your woman cave, wherever you want? Well, we've got an amazing competition to win a signed Steve McMahon and Ronnie Whelan Liverpool 88-89 away shirt. Yes, you heard that all right, as many words as it was. If you want to be in with a chance of winning this competition, it's the last few days to enter. You've got to head to redmenplus.com. If you're an existing club captain subscriber, upgrade your subscription to Club Legend. Or if you just want to come in from the cold straight to Club Legend level, then your name will be in the hat for that amazing, incredible, unique, one in the world type prize. Each and every month we give away amazing stuff like this, and you will be in the hat each and every month as a Club Legend subscriber on redmenplus.com, as well as a whole host of amazing extras like the content that we give you. And as a Club Legend, you get free merchandise discount codes, first refusal on Redmen live event tickets, and access to our Club Legend Discord chat as well. So yeah, boss stuff and a chance to win boss prizes. Head over to redmenplus.com and get involved. Hey, yes, go over to redmenplus.com, as mentioned, to see Steve's nipples on extra. But also, if you join as a Club Legend, you get entered into amazing prize draws each and every month for incredible, unique, signed Liverpool memorabilia, including signed Ronnie Whelan and Steve McMahon away shirt from 89. Boss, boss, boss. Right. Yeah, look, the footy got cancelled. We kind of knew it was coming. Everyone became experts on royal death protocol for a few hours there, Chris. That was it. What was the paper that did the London Bridges falling article?
The Guardian one from 2017.
Yeah, everyone reread that.
Reread?
Yeah.
All right. Read for the first time.
Oh, really? Did you not read that before? No. Oh, that was, yeah, I thought that was, that went big. It went big a few years ago. Like, I thought everyone had read that then. But the, because it was fascinating read. It was a bit, I felt a bit crass, but it was very much, and we had, I'm sure our WhatsApp groups weren't the only WhatsApp groups like this, of like, it's a bit sad someone's died and all that kind of stuff, but can someone let us know what's going on with the footy? But yeah, the footy got cancelled.
Make it make sense, Paul.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense for me. I mean, pay your respects, by all means. That nothing wrong with that. You know, ultimately a person died, a person who's lived their life in the public spotlight, whether you agree or disagree with the monarchy. You know, I don't think anybody can say she didn't serve the country. Mm-hmm. And I think she did in her own way, within the confines of what the monarchy in England is able to do. Mm-hmm. But cancelling the football just seemed a bit mad, and it was cancelling the grassroots, it was cancelling all that type of stuff that just made, and when everything else seemed to just go ahead regardless. I mean, I don't know whether there was any truth in Eton playing Windsor or whatever, you know, I haven't fact checked those tweets, because be arsed, but like, if that's the case, why? It was just a bit bizarre. It's like, I don't know anyone genuinely who was mourning. Like, my mum's a royalist. She is. She always has been. Yeah. You know, she likes the monarchy.
Oh, yeah. My mother-in-law got, like, Princess Diana plates on her wall.
Yeah, that's fine. You be you. You know what I mean? But, like, even her, she was a bit sad. She wasn't mourning, like, the loss of a family member. Yeah. You know, so there was no reason to halt normal life other than the Premier League got a bit scared about what football fans were going to do, which is precisely the problem with how football has been policed for Liverpool fans over the last few months. It is being scared of what football fans could do, not what they actually do.
Yes, I watch cricket, obviously, don't I? And they played. They wanted to play, they played. They done minute silence, done national anthem. I get it, because, listen, there probably would have been fans up and down the country. I think Hearts played the game and someone kicked off during the minute silence on that one, shouting things like, the issue you've got there is, if you're saying, well, that's, they're going to...
Can I solve this issue? Don't fucking televise them in silence.
Yep. Or
right, is that not a simple way of getting over the fears? Because there is, you know, how many times over the last few months have we seen Boris Johnson get booed? I saw something when King Charles got booed the other day. You know,
was that in Edinburgh? There was like, people were booing God Save the Queen, God Save the King.
God Save the King. Just don't televise it. What's this need to actually showcase everything all of the time? That there isn't any point. Just go to a frigging advert break if you're scared of it.
There's a couple of things as that. Whenever football starts, they're going to have to do something. So you're just kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. That's what
you're
going to
make people more cross and more.
You can just do minutes of applause.
The problem is that there's obviously going to be some negative response, I think, amongst Liverpool's fan base. There would, and I don't think you'd have 54,000 people booing a minute silence for the Queen. I just don't think you do, because I think at our core, I think the vast majority of Liverpool fans are
respectful.
Yeah, exactly. There's a time and place. There's a difference between booing the national anthem because you're not happy with the idea, the overall idea, and the ideology of the country, and all that kind of stuff. But like when it's someone's died, it's different, you know. But there would be a core of Liverpool fans who don't understand the difference because I said this to someone the other day. This is why you've got Liverpool fell foul to COVID deniers and that kind of stuff, is because you've got a generation who was raised on don't listen to a word the Conservatives say, never trust a Tory, and then we had to say, oh no, actually do trust the Tories because they're telling us a sensible thing to do and that kind of stuff. And there's a bunch of people who've been indoctrinated so heavily into that they don't have enough wiggle room in their understanding to change. So there absolutely would have been people kicking up a fuss, but nothing like the full scale, because it's different, and you're right. It's annoying that we don't get the opportunity to show. Look, we don't care. We're not fans of the monarchy. We're not particular fans of the Queen en masse. But there's a difference in being respectful and making a political.
I don't
point.
Think it was just Liverpool as well. I think
no. And but all I'm saying is I don't give a shit about anyone else. Is there?
Liverpool, and you also don't understand each other's fan bases in the same way. That you only understand your own sort of fan base.
And also,
the
like,
large majority of,
you could imagine, like, it wouldn't have went down well at Celtic, for example. You know, there's just and we know these things. But they're gonna have to do something when the footy starts anyway, because you can't just ignore it. Mm-hmm. So I found it mad. I think what happened, mate, is that they jumped the gun early, and then all the other sports were like, actually, no, that's not the best idea. Footy just went early with it.
But the thing is, it was bullshit from the government again, and once again leaving individual institutions hanging them out to dry. Instead of just saying, right, look, let's just do this, let's all be in it together, they went, no, you do you. And it was a bit like the implication of, like, listen, I'm not going to, you say to your kids, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but just know that if your room isn't tidy, I'm going to be very, very upset. And it's like, oh, well, okay, well, you know, they took the passive-aggressive approach to how to handle it, and footy, once again, like it did, like it had to do during the pandemic, and had to fend for itself, and got no help, and got thrown under the bus, did what seemed to be the right thing to do. And you're right, lack of communication or solidarity among the other sports, they all shit themselves and went, we can't afford to turn off for a weekend.
And so, they're in a well easier place to deal with it. You know, footy's marred by a World Cup and all that type of stuff. They've got no other mad changes to their seasons.
You know what else is mad? Like, with all due respect, like, she was 96, this was going to happen at some point. Yeah. Why wasn't there a plan? Yeah. There was a plan for the fella on the news, will have a black tie, and this will happen, and that'll happen, and we'll have this music, and every, you know, they rehearsed it all.
Yeah, Hugh Edwards has been practising in front of the mirror for weeks and weeks and weeks.
And rightly so, because it has to be done right. This isn't a shock. This isn't, you know what I mean, like, we knew that at some point in the next 4 years, probably this was going to happen.
Yeah.
There should have been a plan, right? If the Queen dies, here's how everything acts, because I know for a fact I've got mates who work in, like, radio, who knew what they had it planned out already.
It was protocol.
Just everything was protocol. So it would have been, right, here's what happens, here's what we do. It was the fact that everyone went, oh, panic. And, like, I saw some people, and there's some footy fans who go, you know what, it was the right thing to do, and that's up to them. Like, I disagree, because what happened was some sports went, and you mentioned before, you made a joke about the Tory sport thing, and I get it, but, like, footy and boxing got cancelled, rugby union, cricket, to a lesser extent, rugby league is different, but, like, horse racing carried on the next day. It felt a bit like, we can't trust them, we can't trust the boxing crowd, or we can't trust the footy crowd. But the problem with that is that it comes from the people who run them sports.
Yeah. They don't trust themselves, their own fans.
And then to knock it down to your under nines footy first game of the season's cancelled is a joke. That's become a farce. And, like I say, Would there have been some kickoffs at some places? Maybe the problem might have. There's a million ways around it. You don't have to play the national anthem if you don't want to. You don't have to. You can do a minute's applause if you're worried about it. Like that's how that
exactly.
fits.
Exactly, and that's how we've come to deal with these things. That's why the minute silence is like a dying breed of an approach to it.
Because one person can ruin a minute
exactly,
silence.
Because there's no point because of mobile phones and all that kind of stuff.
The Heart. I don't even seen that video. Someone at Heart was in the crowd shouting something. They played on the night or the night after, I think, because Europa games, yeah. Same as United and West Ham were forced to play as well, or asked to play. So yeah, it can happen. But I don't know. I think basically they've shit themselves. They've took what they think's easy. We had obviously Martin Ziegler, didn't he? And he said the same thing. Basically, they've jumped the gun. They've thought this is the right thing to do. Fair enough, if that's what they thought it was the right thing to do. All I know is that I think Stan Collymore and I think Peter Crouch tweeted something similar, that a better show of respect would have actually been to have 50,000 people in footy stadiums across the land. Yeah. That's what the cricket did. Yeah. And if you,
well, I had someone say, and I don't know whether it was either of those two, but you know, for a generation of, you've lost a generation of children to it, because there's going to be tons of kids who would have been at football grounds this weekend or at football matches up and down the tier and down to grassroots, being told, you know, getting shown, you know, as a moment's respect, here's your chance in your, that's how it impacts your life. To show a moment of respect or whatever, or do whatever, show it that it's a significant moment, mark that passing. But instead, someone just sat at home playing on their Xboxes instead, because you will be, because that's what all of us were. I didn't watch any of the other sports this weekend. I did stuff with my kids, and went to the shops and went about my normal life. It actually didn't just gave me a normal weekend. It was a nothing special weekend as a result of it.
It's also brought more resentment about, because like, one of the things that people have problems with the monarchy, and I don't know, is again, I'm kind of like blasé fan. I don't really care, like, but some people who are anti it are really like, we hate being told what to do. We have to act in a certain way, or we have to do this. You have to mourn, and here's how you mourn. You are not allowed to go and watch your footy team because that's disrespectful. It's like, I just don't understand it. It's just caused more angst and more people kicking off.
I said this on Twitter on the Friday or whatever it was, of saying, look, the longest reigning monarch of all time, 96-year-old, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's a huge, historically significant moment in all of our lives. Everyone who's alive now, this is a huge moment. If you're old enough to be cognizant, then it's a huge moment in your life. So it deserves to be. I'm not into it, like, but it deserves to be something, because whether we think it's important or it's important to you, it is important to the country, and it's actually important to the globe as well. So it should be marked. But you're right, it is a little bit it's a bit antiquated, shock. But it should be marked right. But again, you're right, the lack of forethought and planning, and it's a bit like someone got a big book out from the last time. I went, right, okay, well, there's no protocols for social media in here, funnily enough.
When he played last time?
Yeah.
When the king died last time, when she became, could he play footy the next day? And he marked it at the footy. That's what he should have done. I think if you ask the FA and
but
the
Premier League... virtue signal, isn't it, is the problem, is that we've got this culture now of, like, people who need this and need it to be more and more and more and more than it is. Let people mark it in the way that they want to. But again, stop it all or stop nothing.
I don't even
know. You know what I thought was the maddest thing of the whole weekend? She was just in a normal Mercedes. Like, for all the pageantry that, like, goes on, she was just, her body was just getting driven in a Mercedes like you'd see everybody else, which is really bizarre, isn't it? Like, it was a six-hour journey, wasn't it, from Balmoral to Edinburgh and all that type of stuff, just in a normal car. Like, where's the gold horse-drawn carriage, like, that we normally wheel out for these types of things? Like, it was just really bizarre. I was like, what's going on here?
I was like, it's mine now.
This country's fallen. We're going to normal hearse. Are you kidding me? Like, what's going on? Where's the pomp and circumstance that this type of occasion deserves?
You know what my thing is? I did watch a bit of the cricket, obviously, because I had no footy to watch. And
the closet Tory, carry on.
I'm not sure. And they did subtle marks, like, they didn't have advertising. They had black advertising hoardings, and like, you know, they got rid of all the idea, like the music in between overs. Like, that was the West Ham did it. West Ham didn't play any goals on the screen. They didn't put no music on the other, like a screen with a thing on it. That's a better show of respect than just not playing the match. Because the next game now, it'll be, if it get, I mean, who knows what's happening with the Chelsea stuff and that. But like, it's gonna be if you're worried about things kicking off.
Can you explain to me why that's a show of respect?
What?
not putting the replays on the screen.
Oh, I know.
Because can anyone explain to me why? Go on.
Yes, because it's like, it's too much jubilation, Chris. It's too much. It's all right to experience it in the moment, but the idea of like actively showing things that make people feel happy is wrong.
I'd have thought that is needed more than ever in this day and age.
I know. It's a monarch, so everyone's got to be miserable.
And also, like,
it's in the big dusty book, Chris.
Wasn't the Queen like a big sports fan?
Yeah.
Like, she loved sport. Like, yeah. She owned horses. Like, she went to all the sport. Like, she'd done as much as she could. Yeah. And I think, again, I'm going back to it because it's my thing. Like, Ben Stokes, I want to play, and because I'm on it. Like, that's our show of respect to it. All we can do is do our job with an armband on, and that's all we can do. I think you're right. I think they've just shit themselves, and they thought, well, in case it does kick off, or in case whatever, or in case we're going to get criticised because footy gets enough, we're just going to knock it on the head. But all you've done is kick the can down the road. It's a bit like, you know, you know, one credit card, you just pay it off with another credit card. Mm-hmm. At some point, that bill's still due. Like, at some point...
And you're getting a balance transfer charge as well. Yeah. Because it's gonna happen next week.
At some point, if you're worried about what's going to happen, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway. Having 4 days off isn't going to make some people not boo at an anthem or not show respect. There will be, if Liverpool play, I know for a fact, the world will be watching... And there will be some people who do something. It just will happen because that's just the way it is. I think it'll happen at other grounds across the country as well. Yeah, I don't understand why you just kick the can down the road. It makes no sense.
Yeah, fascinating stuff though. And yeah, we've got a weekend off. It was fine. I'd like, just, you know, but it was mad. It was just walking around the shops on Friday, and then I think just like, there's like these big, you know, like video screens up with their face on and all that, and it's just like
the music in Tesco was very somber.
Oh, honestly, yeah, that's because it was like a mad, like really mad, like strings misery music in the little Tescos by ours. it was surreal. But again, it's that thing of like, it's all right. You can't go to certain jobs that might bring people happiness, but as long as it doesn't tank the economy in any way, shape or form, you know, make sure all the shops are open, make sure everyone's still going to work, make sure everyone's still doing all this and that. Like,
bollocks. Why are they going to work thing? Like, why is the footy off and yet everyone's made to work if they're all mourning? Baffling.
Because did it you makes see you miserable.
Did you see the tweet about the fella who was getting a train to London? So he said, picked a bad day for wearing all black. And like, people kept coming up to him, giving him like a little curt nod and stuff, because he thought he was just going to a machine head gig.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Sal, we're going to be talking about the week ahead. Whether Ajax will be going ahead, will Chelsea be going ahead as well, and a few other bits and pieces. So make sure you stay tuned for that very short break from us, and then we will return.
Hey, you wonderful podcast listener, get back to the show very, very shortly. Just want to give you a heads up about our merchandise store, redmenmerch.com. Go over there, check it out. Some amazing t-shirts, books, gifts, absolutely everything you need for the Liverpool fan in your life, or indeed just to treat yourself. So yeah, head on over to redmenmerch.com, check out the amazing products that we've got on offer. I'm sure you'll love them, and I'm sure you're going to love the rest of this show too.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. If you, it's just on screen, if you listen to this, none of this will make any sense, and I deeply apologise, but Steve's basically cocked the telly up in between us, and Chris is frantically sorting it. Apparently so, and he's doing a great job as well. Right, we're going to discuss Ajax, which is due to be played on Tuesday, and then the Chelsea game, and what happens to that at the weekend as well. I am still joined by Steve. I'm still joined by Chris.
How did you do that? I had my phone plugged into the telly to charge it, and then took it out, and it...
And pulled the USB stick with the...
Potentially.
With the graphics on.
It's all good. It's
great. As long as no one noticed, they
smooth.
We brushed over it well.
Yeah, I thought so. Steve, looks like Ajax. I mean, it's Monday, the game's Tuesday. Surely that's going to go ahead at this point.
You say that. I wouldn't go, who knows?
I did feel bad. We didn't mention this on the previous one, but we got a couple of tweets in from people over the weekend who had come over to Liverpool, you know, travelled from afar to come and see Liverpool play this weekend. And that's the real, like, the sort of seeing cost of all of this.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that earlier. Actually, it's a big point that we kind of glossed over. But I had a mate who was coming up from London. He was going to park outside ours. He'd bought his sonny for his birthday present, that kind of stuff. We mentioned the local businesses. Like, I saw Home Big saying, like, we've got like X amount of pies that we have to sell now that we ain't going to sell. All this kind of thing, you know, people who are 0 hour contract hours who just lost that wage. Mm-hmm. And if Chelsea gets called off, maybe, you know, that's the thing, is that was the hidden cost almost of it. But yeah, it looks like as it stands, who knows, but it looks like it's going ahead, and it should go ahead. Like, UEFA made Man United and West Ham play on that day,
yeah.
So I can't imagine why it wouldn't. Obviously the weekend is more of a doubt, which, see, that makes sense to me. I understand the weekend one. It's London, it's the day before the state funeral, and
it's about a mile away from Buckingham Palace.
Policing and I understand all of that. That makes sense. It's why they should have played Wolves. What they should have done, the Premier League, is say, actually, play this weekend and we'll have the weekend.
It's genuinely
they
didn't look down the line. I mean, all of us, because it was always like the funeral was always likely to be, if not exactly when it is, within a day or two of
so it's
of
9 days in it. You know, there is protocol for that.
Exactly. It was just genuinely like they didn't, because this is the thing about the sport and integrity side of things is, you know, the fact that the London games are the ones in the most doubt as a result of it. So, you know, boo-hoo to everyone who's got a game in and around London. That's probably going to end up not getting played, but everyone else can crack on. The one point I want to make on, we didn't get a chance to make in the first half, what really did my head in, I was talking to you about this at the weekend, Steve, it's the knock-on impact of all this stuff, Chris. When Steve mentions that the zero-hour contracts and all the people who couldn't go to work as a result of it, the food bank stuff really got me. Because, so like, the monarch dies, she hands her multi-million billion estate over to her son, who assumes that mantle, and then they gently order people towards this period of mourning, which means football gets cancelled, which means, so like the food bank truck that's normally outside Anfield, which normally, you know, you've then got 50,000 odd people who can go and drop food off, they don't have that as a result of it. So that's like potentially, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of items of food that had now been taken away from people who most need it in our region. So Liverpool step up and donate all of the food that was going to go to waste to that, and then they end up giving that out. And it just got it. The whole thing just got me the consideration that a billionaire dies and the poorest people in their country end up worse off as a result of it. It's the whole thing, and that's why I found really hard to swallow around the whole thing. It stinks, because all that speech and Charles spoke really well, actually, when he did his, like, you know, his stuff, and we played a lot of Queen Elizabeth stuff's been played in over the last few days, and she spoke so brilliantly about this thing about, you know, people talking about reigning and along being alongside all the people. I don't think the King's got any concept of what a food bank is, or what actually the stupid little knock on impacts are. And it's all about the headline stuff. It's the gold and the glamour and the team in masses crowding around crying, and not the actual real people that got fucked. And that's, again, footy's just a pastime, but it's got an ecosystem around it that helps local normal people survive. That really did my head in about
that. Yeah, and it's not right, is it? But it's the way, and it's nothing to do with the monarch in this instance, or the monarchy in this instance. It's all down to the government. The government have put in place sort of no types of safety nets whatsoever, such that the little man, essentially, or the little people are sorting themselves out and trying to help their own communities where they can. And until the communities stop doing it, the government won't do anything about it. But you can't stop doing it because the government aren't helping them, and that's just the problem, isn't it? You know we know 12 years ago there was a handful of food banks in this country, and now there's more than there is McDonald's in the country. Yeah. You know, and that's just incredibly negligent on one half, but I think it's also planned on another half, that this is the way that it is going to go. And they'll put their arms around each other, and they'll raise each other up, these little people. Because they do, because we always have done. The working class have always looked after each other and those less fortunate than themselves, but it's not replicated at the top of the pyramid by any stretch, is it? And it's unfortunate that those are the people that it does impact, and not just in the short term. This could have repercussions for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Mm-hmm. There's no getting back from that. You can't, even in the games rearranged, it doesn't make up for a shortfall now. And it doesn't make up for money now for people who are on these 0-hour contracts, who are heading into a cost of living crisis with the highest bills that the country's ever seen by comparison to their wages. You know, you're just ending up, people going to spiral into more and more debt, more and more food poverty. And there's nothing that's going to be done about that in any way, shape or form. And it's quite frankly scandalous and disgraceful and disgusting that we live in this country. It makes me really angry to even want to put my name to this country.
Yeah.
No, like, it really does. And it's nothing to do with the monarchy, that's just the way that the government runs the country.
Yeah, again, it's just that thing. Everyone's lost in the pageantry of how glorious it is to have all these mega rich people. And it's just like, again, it's the people getting down, trodden the whole time. Judgment of the war. Anyway, the fans putting food banks did a brilliant job. They ended up going to the bombed out church on like a wet Friday night or whatever to hand food out to people who needed it. And again, this is where we're at. It's a piss take. But if you want to help out, at S Food Banks on Twitter, if you want to get more on them and ways to help out, obviously if the Ajax game goes ahead, they will be back on Flagpole Corner again, as they always are. So if you do want to help, donate. But yeah, it just highlighted. I just thought it was just another one of those wonderful dichotomies of this country where you've got all this stuff going on at the top end, all down south, you know, where all gathering around Buckingham Palace.
Look at the shiny gold. Ignore the poverty everywhere else.
Back to the footy. Ajax is going to go ahead. I can't see a world where it doesn't. But the weekend stuff is the tough one. Just in terms of Liverpool, then. I don't know. We were joking in the office this morning about how there's definitely an alternate reality where in a 9 months' time, Liverpool fans are celebrating Liverpool winning the league or winning the Champions League or doing something mad, because having two games of footy off allowed us to reboot our season a little bit, Steve. Now, of course, again, there'll be no more excuses left if that's the case, but there is a little thing that's been kind of going amongst us all of like, Liverpool aren't in great form. They've got a ton of injuries. It's not great because you're going to have to play them fixtures at some point down the line, but you'd rather play them fixtures, hopefully, that you with a few more players available than not.
Yep, and from that point of view, it's probably worked out. I put on Twitter, I think it's disgrace. I had loads of people go back saying, it's actually a good thing for Liverpool. Don't knock it. Can't think we could do with this. If it's, you know, getting a few extra players back, getting Jürgen on the training ground for a full week, working with them, because obviously we know that when the game got called off, Liverpool trained on Saturday again ahead of Ajax, so now they've had a week to prepare for Ajax rather than like 2 days that they would have had, or one day training essentially. So yeah, in that way it's worked out okay. Again, my sense is that we're going to play Ajax and then not play Chelsea, so then you get another couple of weeks off and there's an international break. So that's where, again, it's the sporting integrity thing comes into question a little bit on that as well. Like Rangers have had their game moved 24 hours, so they now play in Napoli at home with no away fans, and then that means no Rangers fans are going to be in Naples. There's all kinds going on. The issue is, mate, is that having lived through the pandemic, we've all just accepted and we've all learned to roll with the punches. I think footy teams and footy clubs and footy organisations have too. Like, you know, if we can get that bad, we can just cope. Like last season, just games getting just gone, like called off COVID cases, and we were part, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal gets cancelled because of COVID cases, and then Leeds don't play for like 4 weeks or something, Leicester don't play forever, and then they come back, Leicester come back, having had a month off and play our reserves because we've been, sporting integrity's been gone for like forever, since the pandemic, so no one gives a fuck about it, basically. So on a purely footballing point of view, I don't think it's a bad thing that Liverpool didn't play at the weekend and got a full week to get players back full, because not only would the lads, obviously they got battered in Naples, they got absolutely, but they got ran ragged as well. It wasn't just, they got ran everywhere. If it means that some of those have had the tank topped up so that they can now play Ajax, and then if needs be Chelsea, because at some point he would have had to rotate. He might not need to, he could pick his best 11 for Ajax and then think, even if Chelsea goes ahead, well, I've got 4 days of recovery, so he can play his best team twice now. He wouldn't have been able to go Wolves, Ajax, Chelsea.
The only slight thing on this is, because I'm not against them being kind of battered a bit, because they deserve it, and that we've, in missing the Wolves game, they have missed that opportunity to be like, you give them a bollock and you do whatever and then you send them all back out again. They've got a point to prove, and it's going to get about, I said again about excuses, we're reaching that point now where there's lads coming back from injury that was starting to bring to an end that we haven't got enough players to play excuse. Now they'll have had extra rest and extra training time, the margins for, and I think just in terms of how much leeway we're going to give them gets less and less. Whenever Liverpool, obviously Ajax will be a thing, being Europe will help, but when the league footy returns, they've kind of got to kick on, because there'll be no more excuses.
Yeah, and listen, look, Liverpool I think have got the biggest job while these fixtures are going on, or being cancelled, sorry, because I think we fundamentally got to change something moving into the next Premier League game. But everybody else has had this time as well. You know, that up to this point right now, everybody else has had that time to work and get better and improve. So you've got to get more better than everybody else.
Betterer
than everybody else. And that's a difficult thing to do. You know, everyone else has got good coaches and they'll be looking to improve and they'll be looking at the little things that they can tweak. So you've got to actually gain and overtake. And that's where you've got to look at it and go, well, is it enough time to fundamentally change? Which is what Jürgen kind of alluded to. You know, whereas everyone else might make sharp improvements by tweaking here and there, you might have to make a fundamental change. Yes, it's going to help you in that regard, but it might be one step back to take two forwards, and there's going to be no time for that, because Liverpool fans and fans around the country are looking at it and going, well, they didn't use their time well enough, you know, if that's the case. But also, I just wanted to say, slightly off topic here, but this is the problem that football has created for itself, whether it be FIFA or UEFA, by moving this World Cup, because this season is held together on a shoestring right now, and there is no wiggle room whatsoever. So when the other sports are looking at it and going, well, we can afford to, maybe if we want to change things, football have backed themselves into a corner where they can't. And that's they should recognise, after seeing the last season and the season before, that they need wiggle room. They can't just blindly go into this, because what happens in the middle of the winter if there is another massive surge of COVID? Because it could quite easily happen. The World Cup might not go ahead, you know, the fixtures coming back in might all be changed. What happens here? There is absolutely no wiggle room anywhere for football in the UK right now, and it's mental to think that they've gone into this season off the back of the last two with nothing up the sleeve.
Yeah, I think he's right. You know, you're spot on. And going back to what I think is a positive is that I don't think Liverpool had the resources or the form or the fitness levels to win Wolves, Ajax, Chelsea. I don't think they would have won all three of those games. They probably would have beat Wolves and then the other two, who knows? But that's the one again. Positive, you say that, in knowing exactly the implications of it, is that he can't pick his best 11 now. I don't think Liverpool are playing well enough where you can drop lads in who aren't in your best 11. What, even the best 11 aren't playing great, so at least he gets to play them twice, because I don't think I don't think the backups are we're winning all.
There's just a bit more rehabilitation time. There's a bit more integration time. There's a bit more time to work on tactics and stuff. Because you're right. Because it's just the team's felt so disjointed in what they do that it's not going to hurt. Because you don't get that. You're playing two games a week. They famously go on about this. Is you basically recover. You do a bit of video work and then you're into the next game. That's how it happens. And it works for Liverpool. And it's worked for Liverpool because they were up and running. They had the core of what they did there, so you could afford to roll with the punches once you've got your core in place, because it feels like our core has been undone and everything else is falling by the wayside as a result. But you know, it's things like Arthur Mello will have had a bit more time just to train with his teammates. It means he's more likely to be able to be make an impact or be involved, if nothing else. And we're closer to, you know, if we don't play Chelsea, it means that, I mean, you can never predict what's going to happen in January, as we've kind of said. You know, we might be in the midst of another injury crisis, and we'll be cursing the fact that, oh, look at how many options we had. Thiago, Arteta, Harvey Elliott, Fabinho, we had all of them available, when we've got like Tyler Morton being recalled from loan as a one-man midfield in February or whatever. But hopefully you've got to take a negative and spin it into a positive.
And that's the difficult thing for me. I know I'm being negative here, but if Jürgen is truly thinking about changing, 2 weeks ain't enough.
It's not going to be enough. He can't change. I always hint that he can't. It's too late. He can't change. It's got to be little fine tweaks. It's got to be lads playing better. And he, when he mentioned, you know, we're going to have a little look, and he hinted at a couple of changes, there isn't a change you can make that it will solve it all that big. And you're right, you'd need a whole pre-season. A lot of it's going to depend on getting your best players. So for example, you mentioned midfield. Fabinho, there's no way Fabinho could do 90 Wolves, 90 Ajax, 90 Chelsea. It's not going to happen. We haven't actually got another DM. Yeah. Arthur Mello, maybe. At least now Fab can play Ajax, touch wood, and then play Chelsea if it's on, and play both of them.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because we are not good enough at the moment to rotate, because we're not. It's that simple. Yeah. We're actually quite crap. So the more chance you can get on the training pitch, and more lads we can get the tanks topped up, you know, like you put on the extra £10 petrol in to get you back to a full tank.
Yeah, we
need it, Paul, because I can't emphasize that Napoli game when I don't go over.
It's not just going to fix itself. This will all click in a minute. Yeah, absolutely.
If I was Jürgen, I'd have a video of the Napoli stuff. I'd have it all cut up, and the bit where they showed absolutely no desire, so there's loads of it, and I'd have it playing every day on a big screen in Kirby.
The good thing,
why aren't you running? You know that running you didn't do there? Fucking run now.
The good thing is, and you know, I thought Thiago led the way big time with the Napoli stuff when he comes in, and it was like, it was everything you realised. Remember when we signed Jose Enrique, and this is a funny example of it, but we'd had a wilderness of left backs for so long, and it wasn't like Jose Enrique was a world class left back, but he was a left back.
He was competent.
He was a competent left back, and it was like, wow, stark when he started playing. In there, we had Albert Riera played left wing for us. Like, holy shit, a left footed left midfielder playing for Liverpool. Wow, this is great. Look how this works.
Look at the width.
I mean, but Thiago is a streets away from all that. But the second he came in that game against Napoli, albeit the game state's not how it would be from the start, did everything that you need to do in a midfield for Liverpool, and showed you everything that our midfield's not been doing.
But it's not just the midfield, it's every single, almost to a man, every single player in the squad. Thiago came in and played like you'd expect. The other 10 aren't.
Yeah.
that's a major concern.
Thiago can do it.
Apart from maybe Alisson Becker, you know, you have Harvey Elliott's doing what you expect him to do. But like Trent Alexander-Arnold, Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez, James Milner, Jordan Henderson, I know he's not involved in that game, Fabinho. Yeah. These lads, they just need to play like the players that they actually are.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking. We're not asking for an evolution here. Yeah. We just want them to play like they can.
And it's mad that this needs to happen, but it's standard, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? What you need to look around, this is what Andy Robertson was talking about post-match. You know, when you get in trouble, your mate's meant to help you out, and there wasn't enough of that happening. Having Thiago on there, it's just another lad but it helps that he's the best footballer we've got, and he's out there doing it all, and you shouldn't need it. But I said this before, like, Trent's phenomenal, but Jordan Henderson bollocks him through football matches a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Not like 90 minutes of Jordan Henderson in your ear, But like a handful of times a game, Jordan will just flip on Trent for not doing quite what he's meant to do. When you take a few of them out the side, it does just start to undercut everything that you're doing. Thiago being back, and just from an ability level one, but also when your best footballer is tearing into tackles and do it. James Milner's been doing it, but without the technique and obviously the legs to do it at the level that we need anymore. And everyone else needs, somebody needs to just grab the team and go, come on, come with me, we're going
to
make this all.
I think Chris made a good point before, like there's a lot to go on. Some of it is tactical. The main thing for me is that they haven't got the legs to press, and when you can't press and you play a high line, suicidal, because there's no pressure on the ball, so ball over the top. So if he's not going to change, he needs the lads to be fitter and just play better. Like I understand that there are issues with Liverpool, and everyone just goes, the midfield's crap, so Liverpool are falling to bits. To an extent, yeah, but to an extent, the midfield being crap doesn't stop Trent running 5 yards back to get into shape. It doesn't stop Joe Gomez just bottling tackles, like getting shrugged off the ball by wingers.
It's a negative spiral though, because it all links in together.
Yeah, it does.
And it's like, you know, we said Trent running back or not.
But where's
matter.
The epicentre?
The midfield.
Is it? See, I think the desire is the epicentre.
I think it's the legs. I think they've got no legs. There's a reason they're not running, and I think there's 100% issues in the midfield, and we know that. And again, it might come back to the injuries, it come back to quality. Liverpool went into this season probably banking on when they're all fit, we're great, but you're banking on Naby Keita, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Thiago to stay fit, and Jordan Henderson to stay fit, all the best. They've done lots of, like, I say this sometimes, the best way to gamble sometimes is actually to just pick even odds. And if you bet on like 10 of them and 6 win, you're in profit. Liverpool had odds on all, like really tight margins, and they lost them all.
Yeah.
Because they were 50-50s that could have went either way. But who's shocked that Naby Keita's injured? Who's shocked that Thiago done a hamstring? Who's shocked that Jordan Henderson got an injury? Who's shocked that, you know, Joel Matip picked something up, because he always does? Like, oh my God, Oxlade-Chamberlain's injured. That wasn't like, that never happens. Yeah. You know, like these things, they gambled on all these and lost. And as a result of it, they can't play how Jürgen wants to play.
Yeah, my point on this is that, again, it's not, you can't put your finger on one. If you're going to put it on anything, and it's what I was saying for a week now, I'm happy to put it on injuries broadly, because it's the big one. And it's led to a lack of fitness, a lack of freshness, mental fatigue and all that kind of stuff. And then that's compromised a lot of performances. But it's like the Trent thing, him not dropping in a yard or two, and also because he's the kind of player, he's waiting there because he wants to go and make the game happen the other way. And that's not right. He needs to get the other stuff boxed first. They all need to sort that stuff first. But Fabinho could not tackle a man to save his fucking life in Napoli.
Maybe it was, Van Dijk,
no,
looks like.
But it was, no, but like it was, I'd never really paid attention. I'm aware that Fabinho's not played well this season, but like it was frightening how far off the pace he was. He got nowhere near anyone all game long. And it's the you're right, and Virgil van Dijk then falls into it, and then it just becomes like that thing of like, oh fuck, because if your defence is sound, then you can figure the rest of it out, but everything's falling apart because, you're right, we are required to put a hard working press on in midfield, and our midfield is neither technically good enough to try the other thing, and it's not physically good enough to do the old school thing, and it's not balanced enough to do somewhere in between, which is what we've kind of gone through over the last year or so. I said it in Old Trafford, Henderson, Milner and Elliot is not a good enough midfield to win at Old Trafford, and Fabinho, Milner and Elliot is not a good enough midfield to go and win in Napoli if Fabinho is going to be as shite as and off the ball as he is, because Milner is fine, but he should never start a big game of football for Liverpool. He can come into any moment of that game and help out.
He's meant to be 7 or 8. He's not meant to be number 9 or 2. Yeah, maybe. And this is all. But the flip side is sometimes Liverpool's system has let them down. And you know this. You do stats and stuff, Chris. Is that what bails them out is the good lads play good, and it just bails you out. Like the goalie will make a worldie, or Van Dijk has somehow been left 3-on-1, but he comes out of it. Like sometimes your system can, things can go wrong. Shit happens. It's footy. But your good players step up and box off.
But that's a build up of being brilliant, and then you can get away with some shit when you've got an aura and
it can be in the entire game. I've seen Liverpool get played off the park and win 1-0.
Yeah, like, but in a spell when you've been brilliant for 10 games.
Yeah, exactly. But the system will always let teams run behind us. It will. So at some point, Joe Gomez has got to run back to his own goal and deal with it. That's going to happen, even if Liverpool made our
own. I think a bit's been made of Joe Gomez, to be honest. He had a bad game. But
no,
like,
I'm just, that's what I'm saying, in general, because the whale fell apart in Naples. That's the point, is that it has been crap, and the system hasn't looked great, and we don't look balanced, and there's legs and there's injuries. But, you know, if everyone was just 20% better, if Virgil wasn't standing like a fucking statue and just throwing himself at Jadon Sancho, or if Joe Gomez just kicked the ball out of play, you know, Liverpool, I was looking before about like the XGs and all that, and it's, again, it's like Andrew Beasley said, Liverpool are the only team who are like, based on XG, 4 points or more worse off than they should be. And that all comes from individual mistakes of lads just not doing their job properly, whether it's both ends of the pitch. So lads not scoring chances they should score, or letting one, like, mad things happen. The system, things, it was never going to be perfect. Liverpool lost a world-class player in Sadio Mane. They've had loads of injuries. They're trying to sort shit out. When that happens, what you need to do, you need to get by your good lads playing great.
But even so, I mean, again, going back to this point about the injuries and stuff, the injuries that have really hurt us is Diogo Jota, is Ibrahima Konate, and Calvin Ramsey to some extent as well. And these are actually three lads who've been bought in to take the team up a level. These are the ones that have been added, so we are still relying on other people. It's actually the ancillary ones around it. If Diogo Jota starts the season, you've got a 20 goal a season striker in your available in your front three, and it covers up a multitude of sins. Whereas everything, it's just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, but we've got a 30 goal a season striker who's not looking like a 30 goal a season striker. So it's more than just having that. It's got to be more than that. And we've also got a Diaz lad who looks like he's on course for 25 goals a season. Who looked like he was on course play the whole season last year, get 10.
Yeah.
So it's mitigating circumstances. Yeah. You know, when you look at. And this is where I agree with Steve about the injuries, but I also think it's desired as well, because you can't tell me that Trent Alexander-Arnold can't run 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that, because I watched him play another 30 minutes and run loads more.
Yeah.
Like, that's a concern for me. That doesn't come down to the midfield. That's not legs. Are you going to do your fucking job? And do you have the heart and desire to do your job?
I
didn't see enough of that. That's the biggest concern for me. Because you can be good at football, but if you're not willing to do what's needed, you're never going to win games
of football. It's a chicken and egg thing with that, though, isn't it? Because I think that comes when you start. It's like accepting that it's fucked. When you think, well, it's going to happen anyway.
It's not us.
Exactly.
Where's the mentality monsters?
Exactly. But, and I say, that's what I mean. I think that's a symptom of the problem, is that we're not as all-conquering as we are, and all of a sudden you've got to dig deep, and it's like,
they feel sorry for themselves. I said to you on the other day, it's like, things are going wrong. Things went wrong a couple of seasons ago. Things went wrong when all our defenders were injured and our goalie had to score a goal.
Yeah.
But I never felt in that season that people felt sorry for themselves. I felt they were shit and they'd run out of players and it was broke. But I never once thought they don't care or they're wallowing in this.
Yeah.
I feel at the moment, and it was only really in Naples that I saw this, and again, it's one off, so like you can't go too heavy on it. They look like they felt sorry for themselves. They look like.
We said this all along. You can any of the games that Liverpool have lost and drawed, you'll draw or
you're losing
lose
Napoli all the time.
Every single season, they're the games you lose and draw. They're just normally spread out, but the problem is when they're combined, then that leads to a negative spiral that you've then got to drag yourself out of. If you spread them out over the season, who's arse? No one even pays attention to it. But when it's combined, you've it's bad form, and it looks like you're a bad team. It looks like everything's fucked. Just on the Jota point, to get in the top four, you need one goal scorer. You need one 25 goal a season forward to get you up there. If you want to cement a top four place and push for the title, you need at least two. And now the only times Liverpool have come close to a title, they've had two. And actually, because of City, if you want to win the league, you actually need three. And at the moment, we've got Salah, who's ticking along okay. But when you've got the one guy who's your one goal scorer, it makes you very easy to nullify. Everything else has just been... Again, this is the problem, is that we can go through all that. That's one point. I don't think it's the be all and end all, but we'd have probably been slightly better off if we just. It's like literally, if we just had Jota, we probably would be slightly better off than we are, and that probably then has a knock-on effect to the defense. Go, we got away with that one. We don't need all the reliances on us. But is it, in years gone by, the defense has done its job, and if the goals haven't gone in, it's a bit like, oh well, fucking the attack needs to sort itself out. Whereas now the rest of the team is being let down by. The defensive issues, like the defence is playing shite, the fullbacks are playing shite, the DM is playing shite, the midfielders are then, and then the attack haven't got a platform on which to build.
I don't know whether I can agree with that, mate, because you know it could quite easily have happened that Jota just plays as shit as the rest of them.
Yeah, but it's less like, but it's
You were sat here at the start of the season, told me Van Dijk, Trent, Matip, Gomez, Fabinho, you know, Henderson, they wouldn't all be shit, but they are.
Yeah.
And also, just to put a bow on it, like, tough shit, he's injured.
Yeah.
Fucking run.
No, exactly. And I'm not, what I'm saying is we could do any of this. We could go through any one of these positions. Ultimately, the only thing that's probably the reason behind it is injuries, and everything else is an offshoot.
I see, you say it is, but then it's not, because I get it to an extent. The injuries don't give it, that doesn't excuse some of the shit we've seen. It just doesn't.
No, no one's saying excuse. But if you're looking for where the root cause of all this comes from, if Liverpool had a fully strength, you know, or more available players, it's likely that they've just got a better control in football matches.
I think that,
what you're seeing there is it's a lot of lads giving shit up because, and we've all been there. I've been saying this for weeks. You see it in five sides, and you just think either we're throwing too many men forward to attack because everyone's gone, fuck defender, I'm going to go and try and win this game for us. And then back the other end, you've got lads who aren't getting back into shape because they're thinking, he'll sort that out and I'm here to start the counter-attack. Or even worse than that, the next stage is, fuck it, who gives a shit? Well, this game's gone now. We've lost this game. It's beyond our control. And that, there's got to be a trigger and reason for that. That hasn't just come about. That hasn't just gone.
No.
They haven't just decided that they don't give a shit anymore. There's psychological factors have led to that.
Also, in my point of view, it comes down to the summer transfer window. You've gambled on that. I went back to the names. There is no surprise of those lads being injured. So what happens is you get one or two lads who are infrequently injured. So we haven't seen Kanate injured before. Jota has. Like, Jota's been injured a lot, Thiago's been injured a lot, Chamberlain's been injured a lot, Keita's been injured a lot, Curtis Jones has been injured a lot, Jordan Henderson's been injured. They've all been injured before.
Yeah, but they're never injured at the same time.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
No, I know, but I can, just to play devil's advocate on it, we've had them players for fucking years. Jordan Henderson played more minutes.
I think
more
Jota, games. Keita, Ox, Jones, they have Matip, they've all been injured at the same time.
It does, and like, what he's done wrong is that they gambled on three midfielders, for example. Four, because Jones, in fact, five Henderson, because they're often injured. And you've gambled on all five, and they've all got injured. There's no surprise. They got the summer wrong in that. Jürgen admitted it, and this isn't me slagging him off to
no,
it, because
no,
he's literally
what I
was saying.
No, by the way, I totally agree, but I mean, also, with fucking September, what's the fucking point of
no,
going
no,
all
but
this
you,
again?
But you're saying root causes of it is that now, what they're doing now is Artur Melo is like the saviour.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
He's a lad who couldn't get a game for you. Like,
and
Harvey Elliott. It should have been when Schumann, he didn't do it. Right, who's next? And he's admitted this isn't me slagging. Well, it is.
I know. Look again. We do this every year. It's more often than not, we get away with it. And, I'm not saying we shouldn't have gone more. Of course, we didn't just do it. Just go and buy more footballers. Fucking obviously. But again, whatever. Like, I can't. This is how we do it, isn't it? You know what I mean?
But I think that the point that I'm sort of driving towards very slowly is you're still going to have these injury problems through the season.
Yeah.
You know, it's how you react to these that it actually tells you whether you're a good side or not. Not bitching and whinging about the summer transfer window, not bitching and whinging about whether you've got players available or you haven't. You've got to come up with a plan, or they've got to come up with a plan of how they're going to win footy matches. And that's what we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, what that plan is, what Jürgen meant by alluding to, do we need a change, or what is the change that he was alluding to. Like, that's what we need to find out. And that, unfortunately, we've got to wait for games for. And in the meantime, we'll fill it with Vaker shit. That we think in between those games.
Honestly, we're right back here again, aren't we? This is where we were two seasons ago, where we know what the problem is. And again, whether it's the fault of the transfer window or not, you know, it actually doesn't matter. The fault is that there's too many injured players have undercut a lot of what we do. And then
the lads are tired.
Yeah, exactly.
The lads don't look like they give a shit. Yeah, and the lads are playing very, very poorly.
Yeah, and then you can focus on all the million things that, you know, and everyone's got their own hot take on it. But it's like, they just need to find a way to win football matches. But that's the problem, is that, I said this, is that I think they've tried, but they need to take a more pragmatic approach and go game by game, and how do we drag these lads down on this one particular match. But again, you know, the odds of you beating teams with some of the players that we've had to throw out for 90 minutes, and then the 90 minutes.
See, I'm not having that.
We've had Bobby Firmino, we've had Mo Salah, we've had Luis Diaz. These are all lads that
I'm not having it. The team that played the other day, other than James Milner, you could argue is one of Liverpool's best 11s. You could play a Champions League final, take James Milner off of Thiago, and that team could play a Champions League final.
Yeah.
It could. It really could. It just could, because you've got your £90 million striker up front when he's on. You've got your two superstar wingers, your DM, arguably two of your three best centre-halves. I'm happy. Gomez is good. So I'm not having that, like, oh, Liverpool can't do that, because that's bollocks for me, is that they're just all playing shit. And there's a million reasons why they are playing shit, and we get it. But ultimately, it's not our job to do that. It's their job, and it's Jürgen's job to fix it.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I can't see a quick fix other than if it is mental and someone just gets in their head and says, right, that's just fucking bottom out. I referenced when United got battered by Brentford. That was like bottom out. We just go from here. It doesn't get worse than that. We'll make a couple of changes. So Mata will play the next game. Gomez has been bombed out. Mata will play. He might go back to Firmino up front. Whatever little tweaks here and there. But ultimately, it's like saying to Bruno Fernandes, fucking shape up.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. The senior lads need to go and need to dig themselves out of exactly the hole, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
They just do, you know, that is what it is. And that, yeah, it's infuriating, because you'd love there to be like a snap your fingers moment. But again, once these players are going to continue to get injured throughout the season. And that's actually not just the midfield lads. Joss has now not had the pre-season, so the odds of him picking up more niggling injuries as the season go on, etc., etc., etc. It is
Trent needs rest. Fabinho needs rest. Exactly. These lads are going to break down at some point.
That's it. There's a reason why, and again, it goes back to the Trent Alexander-Arnold stuff. He's a lightning rod for stuff, because he always has been. But we've been able to rotate Andy Robertson, and we've not been able to rotate Trent. There's the three players who played the most minutes for us this season are the goalie, Salah, and Trent, and Van Dijk, sorry. And because actually we've not been able to rotate any of those players, because of all their understudies are fucked, or the understudies are covering other positions in the team and blah, blah, blah. You know, sounds mad, but said this, the biggest mistake Liverpool made in the transfer window in the summer was not necessarily not buying a midfielder. It was probably letting Nico Williams go, when, you know, and not recognising that Calvin Ramsey had an injury problem, because they brought him in as his understudy and he's not been able to train with the football team yet. So our most pivotal player and how we play has got no help whatsoever, and that is undermined by factors outside our control
in the team. Canate,
that's a freak. I was there for that, the Strasbourg game. He just lands funny, and he's been out since.
Matty.
And then Milner's then playing in midfield because of all the other stuff that's done.
And Gomez can't play right back to rest.
Look, we can't get into it. Ashley Fitz sent a super chat in. He says, podcast extra last week was gold. Keep up the good work. Let's hope Liverpool can get back to the levels you guys are setting at the minute. Thank you so much, mate. That's lovely.
That's cool.
Yeah, very much so.
By a midfielder.
The poll, yeah. By a midfielder in the past, you pricks.
Go back on your DeLorean, Jürgen, and get fucking
get more midfielders. There's 10 midfielders on the books, and I get it that with all these
we're going to fight
prone, I get it but again, I there's a point where I have to let go and I have to put my trust into people who are supposed to know more than me, and someone's done the calculations there and they've obviously got it wrong, and I understand.
Look, Jürgen, they all get injured at different times.
It's mad, isn't it? We had four centre halves, and three of them were injury prone, and no one ever went. We need five centre halves. We had four, and we managed to get through. That was fucking stupid. When we decided three was going to be enough, was more on it.
Okay,
ten midfielders though for three positions. I don't care how injury prone they are. Should be more than enough to get you through.
They've made mistakes. We'd all agree they've made mistakes, but the flips, that's irrelevant. Now we'll get to January. You can't fix that till January.
Yeah.
So like Chris keeps saying, It's on the manager, the coaches, and the players to fix it. You can't just buy someone out. So tough shit. They should have bought someone. They know that. They've begrudgingly done it. If he's good enough, we'll find out. It could be that Ademelo's brilliant and sort boxes loads off. Thiago coming back will help. But it's ultimately, you can't look for excuses when you're in these, because you can't fix it.
Thiago's the one, though. And circling all the way back to the point at the beginning, he looks like he's in form already. And he is the most influential player Liverpool have.
Yeah.
And it is on his shoulders whether Liverpool improve
or
not.
We've said this for a couple of years, and look, Jordan Henderson is maybe we're starting to see creaks in his abilities or whatever. we've always been a better team with Jordan Henderson in that midfield. That team has been built in Jordan Henderson's image because he's Jurgen Klopp on the pitch. And we said for in the title, in the Champions League winning season, title winning season, we always played better with him in the midfield. And it's not necessarily, it's because he doesn't score loads of goals, he doesn't get loads of assists. And it's not just about running around. It is leadership on the pitch. It's guys who, when you're in the shit, you turn to and looking at the moment. You're right, when a couple of lads, even great players can have off days and can struggle mentally. It's the what Jordan Henderson very rarely struggles mentally in football games, and Thiago very rarely struggles mentally. James Milner very rarely struggles mentally in football games, but unfortunately now James Milner's wearing the captain's armband for Liverpool on the pitch at 37.
I'd actually disagree with that point about Milner. I think Milner is one of the best vice captains or captains a football club can have, but I actually don't think he's a good captain on the field. I think he can set standards by being on the field, but sometimes he can go a little bit too much and too hard. And he did that in Naples, to be quite honest with you.
Stupid yellow card.
And Jordan wouldn't do that. Yeah. Jordan doesn't do that. Jordan keeps it calm and keeps everyone's standards up without having to play mad tackles like that and pick up yellow cards.
And he's just, look, again, this is the thing where we'll never know. Does he make those? Is he better 3 years ago? Are these less issues? He's fighting against himself. He's probably fighting against his own legs. He's fighting against
probably about six of our starting 11 were better 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other conversation, to be quite honest with you. But Jordan Henderson, in terms of him creaking and stuff, I also disagree with that. I think when you see what he does on the field, he might not light up the highlights reel. That doesn't matter. It's about putting points on the board, and Hendo historically has put points on the board for us when he's in the side, and that's what matters. Yeah. The same with Gini Wijnaldum. Still a big miss to this day.
These lads are not going to be. This is the thing, and this is where what transition happens, and you're left with this sometimes where certain players are out. Trent Alexander-Arnold, all this talk about him being a future Liverpool captain, well, we're going to see that in the next couple of weeks, whether he's capable of being that or not. You know, is he prepared to dig in and do the dirty work and build from that? Because I think he's trying to do to be Steven Gerrard. I think he's trying to be the guy that wins the games of football for us. And I know, look, he's not expected to defend and all that, but I think it's like, I said this the other week, our back four, our back five, including the DM, need to get that shit box first, put your hard yards in, make us solid first and foremost, and then earn the right to go and be the guy who gets
the back
hero
to the chicken
moment.
And the egg, though, because if the front three don't press, the back four are fucked. That's what I mean. I and that question before, what's the epicentre? All three of us disagreed. Like, if the Jurgen doesn't know what the epicentre is, you can't solve the fucking issue, so let's hope he does.
It has to be the midfield, and it has to be because the front three, we've got great players in the front three. You are, whether Bobby Firmino's on the way down or whatever, is still, he doesn't need to be faster. He doesn't, you know, his brain hasn't gone. He's actually contributing really well in football games by and large. We've pretty much got our best back five, or a variation on our best back five, with the goalie, our best DMs in there. Maybe it's the other, maybe it's him being knackered. I don't know.
We're just going around the same.
Just win a game of football, Liverpool, and then you know what? Win the one that follows it, and the one after that, and the one after that, and then let's talk.
I like that. Do that. Do what he said.
Yeah,
it's a good plan.
More from us, podcast extra. The poll results sit at, would you be more or less likely to watch podcast extra if Steve took his top off? More likely 57%. So the less likely's reined it in a little bit. We're going to be live in about 15 minutes after this podcast finishes over on redmenplus.com with Podcast Extra. We're going to be chatting more about all the stuff that you all tell us off for talking about on the actual podcast.
Oh, the government.
Yeah, and the monarchy and probably religion as well.
Can I just say, I don't think we solved anything in that chat, but I enjoyed it.
No, but you can't solve any of it, can you?
I found the root cause is Jurgen needs to find out what the problem is and recognise it.
We agreed to disagree.
The lads need to win four games on the bounce.
Sure. Yeah. That was the
job done.
Yeah. Fucking easy, this football manager.
The podcast could have been a bit shorter.
Jurgen, make your lads play better. Lads fucking play better. There you go.
Done.
Simple.
Agreed. Let's move forward.
And we should have bought a midfielder in the summer.
I mean,
obviously. more from us. Podcast Extra, redmenplus.com. Hope to see you over there.
And Alisson's got great hair.
He's got
great hair.
Okay, God, he's a grey hair. I was like, he probably has after this open into the season. Like, right, cool. More from us. Check us out over on Plus. We hope to see you there in video and in podcast form. You guys are amazing. And you guys are amazing too. Thank you. Especially you, Steve. Great to have you back.
It was a pleasure to be here.
See you all soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.